So Amy and I are at the stage of life where our kids are growing up really fast. And you guys know that. You've probably noticed and been able to see how fast they're growing. I'm still hanging on to the lead when it comes to being the tallest in the family. Some of the kids are getting close. Amy is getting passed up real fast, though. So she used to be the second tallest in the family a couple years ago, but right now she is almost second to last, second shortest in our family. Caleb was just telling me how he just bench pressed like 185 pounds or some crazy thing like that. So he's growing up fast. Sophia, we watched her in the play at the high school last night, and she is growing up fast, and it's just unbelievable. When we visit our family and friends that we haven't seen for a while, they often make comments about how much our kids are growing and how fast they're growing and how much they've changed. So those years that they're at, the childhood and adolescence are times of rapid physical growth and development. And it's really important during those years that children and teens get adequate nutrition and a balanced diet so that it doesn't stunt their growth and it doesn't hinder their development. So you probably know that in developing countries where nutrition is hard to come by, there's all kinds of growth and development problems among those kids. And things are different here in America. It's easier to get food, but it's also easier to get foods that aren't really that good for you. I remember when I was growing up, and some of you probably have heard this before, I wanted to drink coffee, but the response I got was, "Don't drink coffee because it's going to stunt your growth." Okay? Don't drink coffee, it'll stunt your growth. I don't know if that's actually true. I drink a lot of coffee now and I am not growing that much, so maybe it is true. But I do know that a steady diet of junk food can really be a problem. It can hinder healthy growth and it can lead to being overweight, and that's not good either. According to PhD Barbara Lyle with the Carey Health and Nutrition Institute, infants are born with innate preferences for sweet or savory flavors. And for that reason, many children prefer high calorie snacks or candy instead of high nutrient dense foods. All right, so if we let kids have their way, and I know this is true in our family, they'll probably snack on junk food all the time and end up stunting their growth and having development issues. We definitely have to keep an eye on that in our family and keep trying to teach our kids the benefits of good nutrition. So, not enough of the good stuff. Not enough of the good stuff can stunt your growth, but too much of the good tasting stuff can be a problem as well. Excuse me. Now, that's physical growth, but that also comes into play with our spiritual growth. And that's what, of course, what I want us to focus on this morning. So in order to grow spiritually, we have to have a healthy diet of spiritual nourishment, balanced biblical truth, communion with the Holy Spirit. If we get those things, then we will grow spiritually. That's the way that God designed it to work. But if we don't have a healthy and balanced diet spiritually, or we end up consuming a bunch of spiritual fluff or junk food, if you will, instead, it can end up stunting our spiritual growth. So not enough of the good stuff can be a problem, and too much of the good tasting stuff can also be a problem when it comes to your spiritual growth. And that's one of the things that Paul sees happening in the church at Corinth. So since he had left, which according to the studying that I've done, it was probably 3 3.5 years prior to writing this letter. Since that time, other teachers had risen up from within the local church and apparently were taking the people in the wrong direction. The people were focusing on the wrong things, and it was leading to arguing and division among them, as we've seen in previous weeks. And today we're going to see how it was also affecting their spiritual growth as individuals. And so in the passage we're going to look at today, we're going to see some things that we need to watch out for that are very prevalent among Christians today and stunting their growth. So the hope in this message this morning is that we'll see if any of these things apply to us as well, and if we're stunting our growth. Because sometimes, and especially in this problem, it can be very difficult to see, hard to see if this problem is happening. So a couple weeks ago, we looked at chapter 2. Paul, in chapter 2, just got done teaching them about this huge difference between God's wisdom and the world's wisdom, and the difference between the natural person and the spiritual person. The natural person, of course, lives according to the wisdom of the world and can't comprehend, can't understand the wisdom of God. But the spiritual person can understand God's wisdom and is to judge all things. They're to be growing in God's wisdom and living according to it more and more. So the people that Paul was writing to were spiritual people, and they should have been living according to God's wisdom, but they were living according to worldly wisdom instead, as we've seen. And that's what Paul points out at the beginning of chapter 3. So now go with me in your Bibles. We're going to cover the whole chapter this morning. Let's begin looking at verses 1 through 4. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Paul writes this: "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not being merely human?" Okay, so this is a rebuke, and I talked about this a couple weeks ago. Paul rebukes them for how they were behaving. They, again, had become loyal to certain preachers and Bible teachers, and they must have been apparently focusing on different distinctions for them to choose one over the other, maybe variations in their preaching. And that was leading to this division among them. They were focusing on minor differences in preachers and in that delivery, rather than on the core truths that they had were all able to agree on. And based on what we see later in chapter 3, there must have been some local teachers and local pastors that were really leading them into this kind of behavior. And so Paul says they were acting like worldly people. People of the flesh, he says, instead of people of the spirit, instead of acting as spiritual people, they were acting as people of the flesh. Paul says they're acting like spiritual infants or spiritual babies, and he was upset because by that time they should have been more mature. One of the things that hopefully you'll remember over the last couple of years, we've touched on it a number of ways in preaching and in different discipleship classes that we've done, we've talked about how there are these different stages of spiritual growth. The Bible mentions spiritual infants and spiritual children, as well as spiritual young adults and parents. And what the Bible teaches and assumes is that every Christian should be growing through these different stages over time as we're all seeking to become more and more like Christ. But the problem in Corinth is that wasn't happening. They had stopped growing. Paul was expecting by the time he wrote this letter that they should have at least been in the spiritual child or young adult stage. They should have been well beyond the point of arguing about different variations with preachers and dividing over those things, but they weren't. Okay, they were still spiritual infants, he says. He still had to feed them milk instead of solid food and deal with their self-centered childish behavior. And so he was upset because their spiritual growth had been stunted. Okay, it had gotten stuck at that first stage. They weren't where they should be, and that's why they were acting in such sinful ways, is what Paul is saying in these verses. So now in the next few verses, he points out why it was so foolish for them to do what they were doing and focus so much of their attention on these different preachers. So go with me now to verses 5 through 9, and let's see what these have to say. Paul writes this: what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believe, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. So Paul points out that the reason that they shouldn't have been giving so much attention to the preachers is that these guys were only messengers. He says they're servants of God whom God assigned a task to do, and they were simply carrying out that task. Paul likens them to gardeners. So Paul was the one who planted. Apollos came afterwards. He was like the one who watered, but neither of them caused any growth. And they had the same general purpose in God's field, which is why I think he says they were one. They had the same purpose in the church and would receive the same wages from God, Paul says, but they weren't anything compared to God. So he points out, you know, what are you doing? These guys are servants. God told them to do something. They're doing it. Now you're giving all attention to these guys and you're focusing on little differences in them. But God's the one who we're supposed to be focusing on and giving our attention to. God's the one who causes the growth to happen. And so for you to be dividing over distinctions in their teaching or whatever is foolish. And it was stunting their growth. They were focusing way too much attention on these distinctions in preachers and not on what mattered most. Things like the core gospel truths, things like love and unity in the church and reaching the community with the gospel, these things had been pushed aside because they were focused so much on what was dividing them among these different variations in preachers. So that was the problem then, but I can see this being a huge problem today as well that plagues churches in America. We can really come to enjoy certain preachers whose teaching just connects well with us because of maybe the preacher's style or their personality. We connect well with them, and we can end up then focusing on why we like them so much. Maybe it's more than just style. Maybe it's a certain theological stream that they have or certain type of teaching that makes them different than others. Sometimes they have a particular theological point of view that becomes then very appealing to us because of our loyalty to them. And so we start to focus on that particular theology and the differences between that and other preachers and other streams of theology. And what we end up doing is we focus on these secondary issues and differences, and we then lose sight of the fullness of what Christ is for us and wants for us. And we end up arguing and dividing. And you see it all the time in the Christian church, people arguing and dividing over secondary theological issues that oftentimes can be stemmed back to people's favorite preachers. And we end up being like the people in Corinth. Okay, we do exactly what they're doing. And I think Paul would say, what are you doing? These preachers that you admire so much, they're just servants of God. It's not just Paul and Apollos, but the popular preachers of our day. They're just servants of God that are carrying out God's calling in their lives, carrying out God's assignment. So don't put so much attention on them and what makes them different than others. Such behavior leads to spiritual malnourishment because we focus on those things rather than the fullness of Christ, and it stunts our growth, okay? And so this is something that I think is maybe, I don't know, deceptive, or it can be difficult for us to see because we think, well, if I'm focusing on a Bible preacher and a Bible teacher and spending a lot of time focusing on them, I must be growing spiritually. And that's not always the case, because we can, you know, focus on maybe head knowledge without and secondary issues without carrying out primary issues that Christ would want us to carry out in our lives. So that's the problem he's pointing out in that section. I want us to see now in the next section that kind of focus, I guess, and error can lead to other problems as well. And Paul gets into that in this next section. So go with me and let's read verses 10 through 17. In these verses, he switches from the analogy of us being a field to now us being a building. And so you'll see that in these verses. Here's what Paul writes. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation. So that's how he's describing his ministry when he was among them. And someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ, which you remember Paul said when he came to them, he kept it simple, Christ and him crucified. That was the foundation. Verse 12, now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. And then verses 16 and 17. Do you not know that you are God's temple? He's talking about the church. You are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in you. So this building, again, this temple, God's Spirit dwells in you. If anyone, here's a warning, destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. So in these verses, I think Paul is primarily addressing secondary teachers that came from the local church in Corinth, not necessarily Paul himself or Apollos, but now he's talking about the people in Corinth who were leading the Corinthian church away from where they should have been. This would be like local pastors, local teachers, in the church. Paul says that he was like the master builder who laid the foundation of a building, that when he was with them, he was the first one to teach them the core truths of the gospel. Apollos and Peter, that he mentioned earlier in the letter, had a similar role when they would go and they would teach and preach. But then there were these pastors and teachers who would come afterward, part of the local church, who kind of stayed and remained as part of the local church, who were then building upon that foundation that Paul, Apollos, and Peter had laid by what they taught among the people. And so that would be, in our church setting, that would be like me, of course, that would be like Kent, that would be Randy, or any of the teachers that we have at East Lincoln. And I think it was these kinds of teachers who were causing the problem in Corinth. The problem wasn't Paul, Apollos, and Peter. The problem was these local elders and local pastors. Teachers and pastors are building upon the foundation of the gospel of Christ crucified, and Paul likens the work that they're doing to these materials that are either sound and solid, or they're weak and fluff. So the work of the preacher and the elder in the local church is either solid, or it can be fluff, or maybe a mix of those two. Some of it was like gold, silver, and precious stones, Paul says, but some of it was like wood, hay, and what was the other one? Wood, hay, and straw that was just worthless spiritual junk food, if you will. You have the good stuff, but you also have the bad stuff. And that's what the work or the teaching of these different pastors and elders and teachers was. And what Paul says is that when Christ returns, the day will bring it to light, or it will become manifest. When Christ returns, he will reveal the quality of each one of these teachers or preachers' work. And some of it will prove to be good and solid and valuable that has lasting spiritual benefits. But he also says that some of it will prove to be watered down fluff that doesn't do any good. Teachers whose work proves to be good quality, Paul says, will be rewarded, but those whose work and teaching proves to be fluff will watch it all burn away. And so Paul warns the teachers among them to be careful what they teach. Of course, this should be a warning to people that are in a position like me, to be careful what you teach. In Corinth, they were turning more and more toward worldly wisdom because of the culture around them. They were turning to worldly wisdom, to human philosophy, and teachings that would have gone beyond scripture, and it just ended up being a bunch of garbage. And you can see very clearly in verses 16 and 17, Paul says how much God cares about his church. And if any of the teachers destroys the church because of their teaching, God will destroy him. And so you see this warning to the teachers, but as I look at this passage, I also see a warning to us who are part of the church. So people who are listening and learning, we need to be warned as well to be careful what kind of teaching we're absorbing. So those of us at East Lincoln who are really all of us who are listening to teaching, we need to be careful what we're listening to, be careful what we're absorbing. Do we focus on teaching that aligns with Jesus and what he taught his disciples, like the foundations of our faith, the foundations of what it means to be a follower of Christ? Or are we focused on teaching that focuses on peripheral issues that the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about, and in some cases doesn't say anything about? There is a lot of teaching out there that focuses on issues that are linked to Christianity but are not core biblical truths of the gospel. There are a lot of teachings out there from very gifted communicators, very gifted Bible teachers, that goes beyond what the Bible actually says, and it enters into an arena of human wisdom and reasoning. And so there's a lot of, I thought of issues of baptism or the Holy Spirit or end times prophecy, healing and miracles, wealth and prosperity, and many, many more issues. Oftentimes there are preachers who will focus only on these things, and you can know, and they're pretty obvious, that their teaching is just constantly about these secondary issues. And even though these things deserve some attention, they should never become our primary focus. And so it should alarm you if you like a particular preacher who's always talking about these secondary issues, and their teaching just doesn't sound a lot like maybe what Jesus was teaching his disciples. It should alarm you. They can easily start getting into what you could call fluff or error, and we need to be very careful and be on our guard to watch that. Some of that, totally fine. A steady diet of that and a focus on that, that's what leads to the problems that were going on in Corinth. These are things that bring up arguments and division among Christians. These are the things we fight about in churches. These are the things that have very little, if any, lasting value. Okay, they're going to burn up in the end, like Paul says. And if we're focusing all of our attention on them, we're going to find out that our growth is going to be stunted. Okay, if we're trying to grow by a steady diet of fluff, it's not going to happen. We're not going to grow. We might know a lot about all kinds of minute theological details based on a favorite author or a favorite preacher that we have, but that knowledge isn't going to really do us any good. Just having that knowledge doesn't mean we're growing spiritually. You can know a whole bunch of theological details and be very immature spiritually. And it can be really hard for us to see this error in our culture, because I don't know if it's around the world or if it's just in Western Christianity, we value knowledge so much. So we have all kinds of Bible studies and we just go deeper and deeper and deeper. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Bible studies, certainly, but we put all the attention on little details of knowledge when we miss the fullness of what Christ has for us, like his mission and his character and how he wants us to live and how he wants us to treat people. And instead we just get more and more head knowledge. And so we need to watch out for that. We need to be careful. Are we primarily feeding on teaching that actually helps us become more like Christ, or are we feeding on spiritual junk food, fluff, that will prove to be worthless in the end? That was the problem in Corinth, and that's what Paul is addressing in these in this chapter. He, in actually chapters 1 through 4, he wanted to expose that problem and he wanted to eradicate it from the church. He wanted to see repentance and see things change so that they wouldn't continue to go down that road. And now we get to the last few verses of chapter 3, and we see him end with one final warning here. Here's what he writes in verses 18 through 23. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God, as he said in previous chapters. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast in men. And that's kind of his summary of the primary problem in Corinth. Let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. And so he returns here to their propensity to think and behave according to worldly wisdom, and he urges them in these verses to repent. If you think you're wise in this world, become a fool, because that's the only way you can become wise in a godly way. We saw in chapter 2 how the wisdom of the world and God's wisdom don't mix, okay? They don't work together. In order to become actually wise in a godly way, you have to become a fool to the world. He reminds them again to quit boasting in men, quit siding with these preachers that you're focusing all your attention on, and boast in the Lord instead, who had given them the preachers in the first place, as well as all things for their benefit. And that's how Paul ends this chapter. So for us at East Lincoln, I want us to ask ourselves, okay, we've covered a whole bunch of verses this morning in a weird format, but bringing it around here, what does this mean for us at East Lincoln? I think we need to ask ourselves this. Has my spiritual growth been stunted? Okay, has my spiritual growth been stunted? And every single one of us needs to ask ourselves this question, because a lot of times at this point, I think American Christians will assume that, well, if I've been listening to a bunch of Bible studies and if I've been gaining more and more head knowledge, no, my growth hasn't been stunted. But the whole point of this chapter is that maybe it actually has, and you just didn't know it. Okay, has my spiritual growth been stunted? How can you tell? Are you caught up in teachings that are causing division between you and other Christians? Is that the focus of your growth? Are you focusing all your attention on secondary theological issues? Okay. And it's fine to focus on secondary theological issues at times. Like, we need to do that. I definitely do that often in preaching, but we shouldn't focus all of our attention on those things. We need to keep the main things the main things. So are you focusing on those secondary theological issues? Are you more impressed with certain preachers than with the Lord? Okay, and think about it. Are you more impressed with this guy or this woman that you just love listening to, and you go back day after day after day, or whatever, week after week to listen to them? Are you more impressed with them than you are with the Lord himself? Are you reading other books from these favorite preachers or authors more than you're reading the Bible? Are you full of theological knowledge but lacking in love and Christ-like and a Christ-like lifestyle? These are some of the questions I think we need to ask ourselves to see if maybe our growth, to see whether or not our growth has been stunted in kind of this hidden way. Hopefully, after all of these weeks really hearing about, I mean, all of these things have kind of flowed in the same theme because we've been hearing about basically the same problem in Corinth. Hopefully, you're starting to see some of the dangers and the problems that are so prevalent in American churches today, and the way that we treat our preachers and teachers and theology. If Paul was here today, if Paul was able to come and be with us in 21st century American Christianity, even evangelical Christianity, and he could see the condition of the church, what would he say? I think if he was upset by what he saw was going on in Corinth, I think he'd be very upset with what's going on in the American church today. And so I call each one of us at East Lincoln, let these things not be true of us, not happen at East Lincoln. And if they are, if you see these things happening in your life, let's humble ourselves before the Lord and let's repent. Let's go back to the Christianity of Jesus and the core gospel teachings, the core issues of our faith in the Bible, and let's not continue to follow the popular Christianity of today. That's what I wanted to share with you this morning. I want to pray as we close this time together in the Word. And so let's seek the Lord together. Let's pray. Father, we've covered a lot of ground this morning. We can probably get lost in the details of these verses, but I pray that here at the close, you would really help us to hone in our focus and our attention on the main point, and that is, have we gotten in a place where our growth has been stunted because of these things? I pray that we would be able to see what's going on in the church culture around us. That's so easy for us to get caught up in as well, with celebrity preachers and all that kind of stuff, and the division that it causes and the focus on secondary issues. Lord, I pray that you would help us individually to see if we're caught up in that in our lives, and corporately as a church as well. And if we see that, God, I pray that we would turn away from that. I pray that we would just humble ourselves before you. There's so much life to be found just straight from you and spending time in your Word and with you. And so I pray that you'd help us to find that life and not be caught up like the Corinthian believers were. So help us to see this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.